to people as you sit down, greet them, welcome them. Great. How many of you are over 40 years old here? How many of you have not got to that age yet? Just make the most of it, all right? being 30 was just not even an issue, but coming up to 40, you kind of think, what on earth have I done with my life and what am I going to do with the rest of it? And it has been like, a bit like that for me. Been going through a little bit of a, not a crisis, but just a few thoughts, you know, that go around, you know, your life. And so there's three words beginning with F, because 40 begins with F, that I think for me, I want to be a lot more intentional about what I do with the rest of my life. The first one is focused, and I've decided I'm going to be a lot more focused from today onwards, and anything that I don't need to do, I'm not going to do it anymore. Roger, are you listening? You've got to help me here, all right? And so I'm going to be more focused than I ever have before, which is going to lead to a greater fruitfulness, which is the second F. And the third F is just friendship. Just want to invest in people, in my wife, in my family, in the people that I know, in all of you guys and everybody else. And I've just encapsulated all that under friendship because couldn't think of another word beginning with F that sounded more kind of, you know, more better than that. So anyway, friendship kind of just encompasses people. So I'm going to live by those three Fs from now on. Be more focused, be more fruitful, and have greater friendships in people's lives. Okay, so I don't know. I just want to make sure that the rest of my life, but particularly the next 10 years between now and being 50, which to me, 50, it's even a difficult word to say, you know, 50. But anyway, I want to make sure that the next 10 years, by that time, that whatever I have in my hands is passed on to a whole other generation after me. So that the whoever and whatever's going to be happening in 10 years' time is not just because I'm still leading it and others that are my age are leading things. But, you know, the baton's being passed on to a whole nother generation. I don't want to wait till I'm mid-50s, 60 or older to do that. You know, I want to see a whole younger generation come through so much faster than we've seen previous generations come through. So for the next 10 years for me and Jane, it's just going to be, we want to just invest in everything that is coming after our own lives and what God's done in us and what he's doing in us, because we know that there's so much more that he wants to do. So anyway, I'll stop there, so I'll keep going. This morning, we want to follow up what we began last week, speaking about wealth creation, speaking about business excellence, and speaking about excellence in the workplace. And I just want to just begin in the next 2 or 3 minutes reminding us of what we looked at last week, saying a couple of other things. And then I'm going to invite Dave Elliott Smith, who's going to come up and kind of just be more specific in how we're going to begin to kind of roll out some of what we're talking about. We're going to interview some others about particular things they've seen in the workplace, but also a very simple wealth creation idea that began and how that's kind of developing already as a bit of an example. Now, the last couple of days, Jane and I have been in Spain at a kind of leaders forum of church network leaders across Europe, and that's kind of hosted by Mal Fletcher. And one of the guys that was speaking at this, it wasn't a conference, it was a forum. So it's not just sitting rows and you get preached to. It's like a consultation where there was about 50 people there. And it's more of a forum where somebody speaks for a bit and then that opens up discussions, working in groups around specific questions that are asked about how the church is going to move in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years and all that kind of thing. So quite a brain stretcher. But one of the guys who was speaking was the guy who heads up the Evangelical Alliance, Joel Edwards. And maybe the Evangelical Alliance as an organisation, you might not think is the most cutting edge out there kind of organisation, but Joel himself is God's really got his hand on this guy's life, and God has given him access into the political world. Last week he had dinner with the Queen, and you know, so God is using this guy in all kinds of different situations, and God has put a real vision and mandate in his heart for leading what represents, I think, 3,500 churches in this nation across many different denominations. But he spoke about one particular thing on Saturday in one of the sessions, and he talked about citizenship. Now, he talked about two other things in relation to that. One was acts of kindness, one was deeds of power, but the third one was active citizenship. And one of the things he said was that many Christians have a mindset that we're Christians that go to church, and then we have evangelistic projects that we do as churches. But he kind of said that as Christians, we need to first of all see ourselves as citizens. Now, we all understand that our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. But even though our citizenship is in heaven, we have to work that out. What does that actually mean on the earth? And he was kind of saying that the church needs an understanding and a mindset that, first of all, we are citizens of heaven, but we live on earth, so we're citizens of the earth as well. But we are citizens that go to church, but our understanding needs to be that we are citizens who bring transformation to society. And that is the first point of understanding, that once we get born again, our sins are forgiven, the old has gone, the new has come. We are now citizens of heaven, but ambassadors of that heavenly kingdom on earth. Therefore, as ambassadors on earth, we then are here to see the earth transformed into what God wants to do in terms of his kingdom coming and his will to be done. And he spoke a lot about this, and we're not going to go into any more of that now, but he spoke a lot about this, and I thought, man, if we can get and understand what it means for us as a church to be not just citizens of heaven and to have a very spiritual approach to everything, but also as citizens of heaven, we have a responsibility then to bring that kingdom of heaven down onto the earth. And that will affect the way we think and the way we do everything. And as ambassadors then, we bring that citizenship, the kingdom that we represent, the ambassadors that we are on earth, we then bring that into every facet of life that we live in. Now, last week we began to speak about the workplace, business excellence, entrepreneurial kind of spirit, people beginning businesses. We spoke a little bit about wealth creation, and we touched a bit on what is in your hand. And what is in your hand, God wants to take that, and like the widow with the jars, the amount of jars that were in front of her, what she had in her hand kept pouring and kept going until what she had to fill ran out. And God has given us giftings, abilities, and lives to pour into. And what you have in your hand will keep flowing and keep pouring until we run out of people to pour into. That's going to take a long time. One of the other things we talked about was the talents in Matthew 25. That God has given us different gifts, different talents, different abilities. And how he wants us to use those gifts, use those talents, use those abilities in every facet of life, in the workplace, or if you're starting a business, that within those talents and abilities that God gives, he also gives that gift of creativity that then can do something with the gifts and the ability that God has given us. Also, we looked at when Paul the Apostle began to go into Europe, the first four or five people that were saved were key people in society. The first lady was the first person was a business lady. Okay, another guy was a jailer, a civil servant. Then he went amongst all the thinkers of the day, and a politician was born again and began to follow the way, or became a Christian. And it was just interesting that the first people that were impacted in Europe were not people who went to church. It was in the workplace. It was in the business environment. It was where people were living their lives. That's where God met them. That's where God found them. That's where they were saved. And in each occasion, their whole household was then saved as a result. And one of the things that we're finding, and I believe is increasing, and when we meet, you meet some of the guys we've met the last few days when Jane and I have been away, increasingly all over the world, God is emphasizing where the church, where the people of God are living their lives, working out the call upon their lives in the workplace and in the everyday situations of life. That is where increasingly people are seeing the power and the life of God being released. Yes, the Sunday morning might be a place where people can respond and everything, but increasingly there seems to be more and more going on out there in the workplace. And in one sense, that kind of confirms some of what we've been feeling as a church, that God is turning the church inside out. The emphasis isn't so much on getting people to a building, but God is turning the church inside out to see that where the people are, that's where he wants to establish his kingdom. The forum Jane and I have just been to, the strap line of the conference was, the church has left the building. It's good, isn't it? And I, you know, turning the church inside out, we need to, you know, I think we need to put along that back wall that as you leave the meeting, as you know, you kind of see that as you leave, the church has now left the building. You know, the meeting is finished, now the service begins. Amen. As you go out, that's where the stuff really makes a difference and is going to really count. So Dave Elliott Smith's going to come up now and he's going to just take about a quarter of an hour or so to just really explain a bit more in detail what we kind of began last week and how we're going to move forward in that. So let's welcome Dave, shall we, as he...
Morning. I'm only vaguely terrified doing this, so lots of support would be great. Thank you. Well, it's a brilliant introduction from Clive, and this is really exciting. We've taken sort of, I guess, 6 months to get to this point of actually talking to the church, so it's really exciting to be here and doing this. There was some massive encouragement this morning. There was a lady just down there when I came in, haven't really seen since Faith Camp last year, and her partner was there, and he had a severely damaged leg, I think broken leg, it was in pieces really, and he was on crutches, and she told me as I came in that this is a guy that we prayed for, but he's now actually back at work, he's made a full recovery that he never expected to make, and I just think what a fantastic place for him to be back at work, he's productive again, and hopefully he's telling his colleagues about what God has done in his life. So this is all about making God famous at work. This is what we're talking about. And when Jonathan said this morning about being the most powerful people in Horsham this morning, I propose to you that we are the most powerful people when we go back to work on Tuesday in our workplace. And we have to know that. And we have to live it. So what I want to talk to you about is all about business excellence and about wealth creation. And we've got some workshops that are coming up soon that will really go into a lot of detail. But in 10 minutes, it's really hard to cover. There's so much to cover. So I'm going to try and stick to the notes, try and stick to the vision and the objectives, and hopefully really encourage you about the massive value that God places on our time at work. Just, if you could just raise your hands, who works? Everybody works. Everybody works. Who goes into a secular workplace on a daily basis? Okay, that's a huge number of people. Who's excited about going back to work on Tuesday? Just slightly less people. Who can think back to last Monday, as painful as it might be, and think about the week that's just gone, and can genuinely say to themselves, wow, that was good. I achieved my objectives. I made a difference where I was. Anybody want to volunteer that? Well, that's fantastic. Because you're absolute stars for God. Because it's really tough. The modern workplace is an incredibly tough place to be. There's all sorts of pressures. It can be very oppressive. You know, if you're like me and you carry major business targets and sales targets, it's a tough pressure to take every day. Okay? And it's hard to live with. And you need God there. and you need to be praying into everything that you're doing at work. So what we've been doing the last few months is just gathering some people together to canvass some opinion about how can we as a church serve the people that go into the workplace every day. You know, how can we make your life better? You know, how can we as a body, I'm talking about everybody here who goes to work, contributing to this. You know, how can we get you to see what you see and who you see at work in a different way to make sure that you go to work completely full of confidence, completely full of total confidence that God wants you in that place, that that's a great place to be, that it is a mission field, yeah? You are there primarily to be a fantastic servant, a fantastic employee, or a fantastic employer. But the bottom line is that out of that excellence that we've been talking about, there will come opportunities. There will come opportunities to witness. There will come opportunities for promotion. There will become opportunities to influence the people around you and the community around you. Okay, so you've got to know that. It's so important that you carry that into the workplace. So given that there's so many people here who love going to work and are really looking forward to Tuesday, I can't wait to see you at the workshop, because if any of you do actually think, well, actually, maybe I could make more of a difference where I am, maybe I'm sort of trudging through my work, maybe actually I feel under huge pressure that I'd like lifting at work, maybe I'd like a different perspective and some encouragement, then I just really encourage you to come to the workshops when they're announced soon, because it's going to be a really good night. And it's not about people just saying, oh, we'll do this or do that. It's about everybody in the workplace encouraging each other as to what's possible, yeah? And there's loads of people here with fantastic experience and talents that we want to hear about, that we want to share with other people, so that you're all encouraged to go in the next day and apply something that will make a difference to somebody's life. Okay, so we're calling this Ignite. I think it's fairly sad kind of title, really. So we're still looking for a better name, if anybody can come up with it. So the key, let me just go back to the my notes. So the vision is to establish a secure wealth creation culture throughout Kingdom Faith. We want an enterprising, if you like, an enterprising economy within the body at work. And we want everybody who goes to work, doesn't matter what you do, where you do it, whether you do it in the home, in the church building, or in the secular workplace, that everything you do to be underpinned by commitment to excellence in what you do. That's the key thing. We serve an excellent God. We need to be excellent at work. We do want to generate more cash for the kingdom. If we're going to go out there, if the church is going to leave the building, and if everybody's vision for things that they can do out in the community is to be fulfilled, we have to generate more money. Yeah, that in that way we can release people to go and fulfill the dreams and ambitions that God has given them. So we do want to raise more money. But actually, as we go about making more money, making profit, and doing it the right way, we absolutely will influence people who are watching how we go about making our money. We do it the right way. Profit made the right way is good. Yeah, and God absolutely has his hand on that. We don't want this just to be for church people. I think there's a whole swathe of the population out there that are really oppressed and find work tough. I suspect there's a lot of young people who are thinking, what am I ever going to do with my life? Because they just don't understand the purpose and the value that God places on work. And what we want to do is to take what we're doing and make it available to people outside the church. We want people to come to the events that we run and hear about what the real value of work is and start to see it in a different way. I guess the bottom line is that we want to see a really healthy Kingdom Faith body at work every day. I don't want to, down the line, I don't want anybody to be really struggling and actually not wanting to get up in the morning and go to work because they think it's too hard, or maybe they're just a bit lazy. Yeah? But we want everybody to want to go to work, not just to survive, but we want people to thrive where they are. So, the key things, our objectives, to understand the strategic calling of our time at work. You know, God wants people at work. He wants them to be great employees, but he wants them to work for him too. We want to help equip people to deal with the real challenges they face. You know, some environments are very political. That's a tough place to be in. When you get promoted, how do you deal with being a manager? If you're going out and you find interviewing hard, maybe there's some help around interviewing, some practical things that can help people actually reach the point at which God has for them. You know, most of the Christians that I know at work are at the top of their businesses. You know, they're leaders in business. And I haven't met many, I was thinking about it this morning, I don't actually know many Christians in the workplace. But those that I know, most of them have actually gone on to actually run a business and they influence a lot of people. That's no accident, is it? Because God wants us to be the head and not the tail. So aspiring for promotion, aspiring for success in the workplace is no bad thing. It's what God wants. It gives you more influence. So we want to increase the tithe. We want to help make, well, in fact, we want to make sure that people, the body in KF, is that the, you know, that every need is met financially and that every dream can be fulfilled. Okay. So I've got three words and I'll start to wrap up. Cash, conversation and influence. And the word that underpins all three of those is excellence. If you're excellent at work, okay, your example will give you more influence with people. If you're excellent at work, it will give you a greater opportunity for promotion. And as you get promoted, you get the opportunity to start to influence more people through policies and how you set the keynotes, the behaviours within your department. How you deal with people in terms of man management. Yeah, I've been a manager and a business leader now for quite a long time. I've had so many people come to me, just simple things like, can I have a day off because? And the because is something actually not very nice. But it's an opportunity to show grace and mercy and compassion. And it's also an opportunity to say to them, hey, actually, there's perhaps another way of looking at that. Or perhaps have a read of this. It's happened a lot, and it will happen to you too. The bottom line is that, you know, if we're not in the workplace, and if we just want to leave the workplace to come and work in the church building, then who is going to influence those people when they have those questions to ask? They might actually never see another Christian. You might be the only Christian in the workplace that literally hundreds of people actually ever meet. So if you walk out of that door, then there's a great big hole there. So who's going to be the lifeline to those people then? Who's going to be the example to them? So we have to be confident of our calling. Okay? Cash comes from excellence. Promotion and influence comes from excellence. Okay? And influence comes. You know, I often look at the workplace generally and I see it's almost like modern day slavery in many ways. You know, there's some real oppressive HR regimes, there's some really oppressive target regimes. And if there's people actually out there who have aspired to success, maybe, just maybe, we can start to change that environment. You know, Clive was talking about transformation. You know, transformation is going to come when we're setting the agenda in business, and when we're setting the agenda in politics, and when we're setting the agenda in the home. Okay. Remember the encouragement. Thank you. I just wrote down a few questions that people had asked me at work. I went out to lunch with a couple of people. We got on to talking about God, and we spent the next half an hour talking about heaven and hell. I couldn't stop them asking questions. I tried to divert the conversation. They wouldn't let it go. I remember talking to a guy recently about a crisis in his wife's pregnancy. The child was probably going to be heavily disabled, and they were thinking about what to do about it. And I don't need to go in the conversation, but clearly he got a perspective from me that maybe he wouldn't have got from anybody else that he'd asked. And if the me had been a guy who didn't have faith, maybe the answer would have been a disaster. I had a guy that I worked with recently whose brother committed suicide in Canada after the guy who lives in England had been out to visit him and was actually waiting at the doctor for his brother to go to the doctor and meet him there because he was depressed. And as a result of that, we've had a conversation that I think has picked him up off the floor in a really difficult situation. He's a really senior guy. I've had lots of questions, lots of conversations about people going through divorce, lots of questions about how do we parent our children, and so on and so forth. And no doubt, if I asked people out there to start writing down a list, you would have them too. But my contention is that we will have more of those conversations, have more influence and reap more cash by being as credible as we possibly can within the workplace. You know, we have to be people that the people in the world can relate to. You know, and we have to make sure, therefore, that the first aim that we do every day is to complete our work activities with all of our might and with all of our diligence. And then I would also urge you not to run away from the workplace, not to run away from going for drinks after work, not to run away from building relationships with people who might swear. Yeah? There's no reason for you to run away from those people. You know, they won't tarnish you. Okay, you have to stick with them. I've stuck with people who have been amazing people, the toughest salespeople you'll ever meet over years and years and years. And I've seen their lives change. Now, I'm not saying it's all down to me, but certainly by sticking with them and actually keeping talking to them about some different ways of looking at things, they've made a change. So we have to be there. We have to stick at it. You know, it's not easy sometimes. I mean, I've been in some very tough sales situations. And the language is not nice. And people's perspectives aren't nice. Yeah? But we have to stick there. If we're going to make a change in society, if we're going to push back the evil that exists within the modern workplace, then we have to be there. We have to be a lifeline to people. Okay? Okay. I wrote down, just to finish off, that there are no rose-tinted views on how tough the modern workplace is. I hope nobody listening to me thinks, oh, it's okay for you, you're running a business, or you're doing this, or you're doing that, and it's easy, because it's not. If you're running a business, the pressures just get bigger, the targets get bigger. The more that you meet them, the bigger they get. And that's the way that it works. So everybody has pressures to deal with. Everybody that we've talked to about getting this thing off the ground knows that it's a really tough place to be. And there's just a massive heart amongst everybody that I've spoken to share whatever we've got and to encourage everybody out there who's got a work experience, a talent, an ambition, something who wants to share it, to give them a platform to share it through. Because, you know, there's some fantastic talents in this body that I suspect some people have never had an opportunity to share. So I want to really encourage you around the workshops to come along and then to talk to us about the sort of experiences you've had and what you can share with other people. It's really important. So, that's it. Cash, conversations and influence. Cash to build the kingdom, conversations to build the kingdom, influence to build the kingdom. Okay. So we've got a couple of people that we'd like to call up. I spoke right at the start about a guy that's healed and now back at the workplace. And there's a gentleman, Bryce Wheeler. Is Bryce in the building? Hopefully he hasn't left the building.
Yeah, not yet.
And while Bryce is coming up, John Taylor. I've seen John. Where's John?
Yay. Hang on to that one.
Yeah.
Great. Do you want to grab a seat? Do you have a seat over here, Joey? You guys can share that one. Great. Now, what we wanted to do was just have a little bit of a kind of chat with these guys as to what's happened in their respective situations and kind of just link that into what Dave has been talking about the last few minutes. Now, Bryce, tell us kind of how you've been able to be a witness in the workplace.
Well, sort of just chatting a lot to people, really. I work in a shop situation, so you meet lots of customers and the staff are pretty open, really, in terms of talking about anything that's bugging them or sort of worrying them or anything like that.
Right.
One of the situations, I suppose, that really stood out to me was I was chatting to a lady. She'd been saving up to go on holiday to America. And she'd been saving some time on quite a low wage. And she found that she had, like, something wrong with her leg, like deep vein thrombosis or whatever it was. And she had this big lump on her leg. And this was in the middle of the shop floor, so you can imagine the situation, customers running around and stuff like that. And I said to her, well, do you want me to pray for you then? You know, because my God will heal you so that you can have a good holiday. And she said, no, not here, no, you know, all that. And I said, well, it'll heal you anyway. And I turned away and walked to go back through the back into the backstage area. And there was all this sort of commotion going on behind me. And she come flying out into the back area where I normally sort of dwell. And
dwell?
Yeah.
Dwell in
the back area.
Yeah. Right, okay. Cool. And she's sort of going, I can't believe it. Because the lump had gone.
Right.
Like, completely.
Praise God.
And she went back to the doctor, and he said, yeah, you can go on holiday. And she had a really lovely holiday in America.
Fantastic. Great. Now, just before you... How did you get to that point, though, where... It's great to hear somebody getting healed, you know, but yeah. how did you get to that point where... have you just been open about your faith?
Yeah, when I first got... I came to Kingdom Faith Bible College, and I worked part time at Mark's. Sorry for the advert,
right.
You know, and I was just doing a few hours there. But when I went for the interview, we didn't talk about the job for the whole of the interview. We talked about what I was doing at Bible College and about God and about. That and they said, well, you got the job.
Right.
So, okay. So kind of felt that it was the right place to be, really.
Yeah.
So I went there sort
so you've
of part
been fairly
time.
Open right from the start then?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
And sort of from the beginning I felt it, you know, it was just right to be okay. there.
So with that lady, did you simply just say, hey, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Right, there wasn't a long build-up.
Nope.
Did you feel like you were just anointed at that moment, or did you just feel like a normal
bloke?
No,
I was stressed.
You were stressed.
Running around. And,
all right, cool. So in the moment of being stressed in your workplace, somebody else had a need, and you simply said, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
But you didn't actually pray for her in the end, did you? You just said, well, you're going to get healed anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And just walked off.
It's great, isn't it? It's good.
And it was really amazing because, as I say, they took me on that grounds that I'd been to Bible college, really,
yeah.
And stuff. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's been an open witness ever since, really.
Right.
Round the coffee table, they love having us round the coffee table because we throw in so many different conversations.
Right.
It brightens the day up a bit.
Great. Excellent. Well, let's give Bryce a encouragement, shall we? Okay, John, we all know that, but many of you would know John has obviously a business background and has had some fairly kind of high-powered, influential jobs. And he recently has come on the staff here on the church to help to organise the way we do a lot of stuff, which is great. John, just kind of tell us what's been happening from a kind of initial wealth creation idea. Obviously, Bryce has given a testimony about the workplace, but also we've been talking about, you know, wealth creation, how we can take something of what we've got in our hands and it can become so much more with a little bit of ingenuity. So, John, just tell us what's kind of been happening.
OK. Many people, you probably know that Claire, my wife, has an artistic background. And over the years, she's dabbled in all sorts of things from paintings to dried flowers, making cards. And it's all just been sort of little bits and pieces, although quite a bit of it has raised reasonable sums of money, mostly for the women's ministry. And she's always said to me, can't you do something to sell these as a proper business? I said, oh, Claire, it's all just too low value. It's just all too much hard work. Just carry on doing what you're doing. And that's been it, really. But then back in, I think it was October time, at one of the men's meetings, Roger Green gave £10 to all the youngsters under 18 and gave them a challenge.
£10 each. Yeah.
And the challenge was to come back in, I think it was about 6 weeks' time, to see how much they'd turned their £10 into. So the challenge was go and do something with the £10 and come back and see how much money you've got. So my youngest son, Nathan, who at the time was 12, had his £10 and thought, what am I going to do? And for about 4 weeks, there was no real great idea of what to do. And then I said to him one day, I said, look, you can make cards the same as mum. You can make cards equally as good as mum. Go and do it. So he made some cards and he did some things with notebooks. And many of you here were the people who purchased the products that Nathan made. And in the 6 weeks, or actually ended up being 2 weeks, he turned his £10 into £140. And so that's not bad growth. And that's probably now, he's not done much since, but it's probably got to about 200. He's not really done much in it since. But what did happen then was I realised that I just couldn't ignore that people wanted to buy these products, and there's people in the body who have the skills. Because it's not just Claire, it's not just Nathan. I know that sitting out in that body today, there's probably at least a dozen people who are equally gifted with the ability to do this. So I thought, right, okay, we're going to have to do something. The time's over. So I decided to set up a website, and set up a website that we called We Got Life. Got absolutely nothing to do with artistic values in terms of the name. But for me, the whole thing about setting this up, yes, it's to sell the product, but it's also to get across the fact that the people doing the products have got life and where that life comes from. I mean, I guess by the virtue of the fact that eyes have been diverted, it is now up on the screen. What's up there? You can't see it terribly well, and it literally is a website under construction. We've just got the homepage mocked up at the moment. But the principle behind it is, it's a shop window to sell creative products. Now, the strap line along the top says, unique, original, handmade, just for you. What we want to sell through there is anything from paintings, greetings cards, sculptures, anything that's artistic and creative. But picking up what Dave said before, it's about excellence. This is selling products made excellently. Products made with the right heart to bless. So it's products that we can sell at a good price, everyone can make a profit on it, but the main thing is that it's going to go out there and it's going to get into hands, mostly non-Christian hands. But every product that goes out will be prayed over. There'll be things in the website that will tell people about how to get life. It will link back to the church website. So the whole thing at the moment is just in a very embryonic stage. But so the first call, if you like, from me to people out there who know you can do this sort of stuff is come and see me, come and see Claire, and let's get things going. We haven't got everything worked out yet. It's very much, as I say, at the beginning stages, but that's what it's about.
Great. So what... Okay. So before Nathan did the £10 challenge, you, in some ways, then just belittled the idea of just taking something and doing something with it. But did that, was what he did, spark something in you then to do what you're doing now?
Well, I guess I'd always just seen it as being too difficult to sell something at such low value. But actually, the other thing that happened at the same time, and again, it involves Nathan. So God has really used him in all of this. But many of you will know the song that the kids did for Christmas called Christmalicious. Well, Nathan was one of the writers of the words of that song. And again, just seeing the power of the internet, where in such a, you know, in a week, that video was watched by about 750,000 people. It was linked on about four. If you went into Google and put in Christmalicious, it came up with something like 40,000 references. Nathan ended up on the front cover of a girl's magazine. Yeah. Which really blessed him. he kept that one quiet from Forest School. But it just really said to me, get something going on the internet and really work it. And the number of people that can see something in a short space of time is just amazing. Look at the success of eBay. I mean, I'm not saying that this is eBay, but I believe God is in it. And who knows? And the thing for me is, I'd belittled it before, but if you can take £10 and turn it to 140 in 2 weeks, just here, that's 14 times growth. You know, what can we do with 12 or 20 people producing product? You know, we were praying earlier this morning about in the prayer meeting, and somebody said about multiplication. If you just get the arithmetic going, it doesn't take much before you're into to figures that could be frightening. But you just have to know that God's in it. To set something like this up and supply the product that I believe we could sell, we have to know that God's in it to be able to make it the product available.
I think that's brilliant. One of the areas I left behind deliberately until John had spoken was about the whole area of encouraging Christian entrepreneurs to get into business. And the second workshop that we do will pretty much focus on getting people to use their God-given creativity and courage and wisdom to start thinking about what gap in the market you might fill. It's fantastic, exciting stepping out there in faith and developing an entrepreneurial spirit. And it's amazing what influence that you can generate, and it's amazing what networks you can get yourself into, and the amazing, again, the conversations that you can have. So we really want to encourage people to start thinking about the fact that it is possible to actually go out there and do it, to do it alone, to set up a business. Because, again, if we don't do it, somebody else will spot that gap. And if we do it as believers, what we do with that gap is going to have far more positive effect than somebody else doing it. Just a sort of parting shot on that is that I went to a lecture recently that was run by a guy called Lord Billimoria. Does anybody know who he is, just out of interest? Okay, he's the guy that founded Cobra Beer. And he had this fantastic idea that basically he would make the best beer possible to go with curry. And that his and he did. That's what he set out to do. And his distribution outlets were going to be all the Indian restaurants in the UK. I mean, it's just fabulously simple when you think about it. But basically, nobody believed him. I think his father was the in charge of half of the army in India. So I think perhaps he had a little bit of influence in India. But nevertheless, he made it happen. Anyway, that's by the by. But at the lecture, there was a teacher from a school in Lambeth who taught, I think, 11 and 12-year-olds. And he stood up at the end just to make one point, which is the point I want to make. And he said that they'd had some project work on entrepreneurial activity. They actually asked the children, what kind of business would you start if you had the opportunity? And the teacher from Lambeth said, most tellingly, well, for the first time ever, we actually got homework back that we set for children, and actually it came in on time, which just shows you that for the younger age group, there is definitely something there for them about thinking about doing something for themselves in the future. So what we've been talking about this morning is for everybody, and I think really from the 5 and 6 year olds upwards, and for the, you know, some of the young people, that this is something that we want everybody to engage in.
It's great. What's going to happen over the next few months is there's going to be a workshop at the end of May on the 24th looking really at excellence in the workplace. Then towards the end of June, we're going to have the workshop on what Dave's just been talking about that entrepreneurial kind of spirit and people that really be interested in looking at how to start a business and everything. Then in July, we're going to have a workshop that will probably look more at the general kind of wealth creation, taking, say, something like Nathan, where he had £10 and just had a very simple idea and just began to do something with that idea. And so we're not just talking about people who have got a call to start a business that's going to become some global network of, incorporation, although that is part of what we're talking about, but that's not all that we're talking about. But, you know, underpinning everything and what I've, for the last 18 months, as I've been thinking and praying about some of this stuff, is that there's a lot of creativity and a lot of gifting that we have. And God wants to multiply that. He wants that to become really fruitful, not just for our own lives, but also for the kingdom.
to affect other people's lives, to reach people's lives that maybe at this point we don't have the opportunity to reach or influence, but also so that we are bringing finance and money into the kingdom, into the vision, so that the next 3 to 5 years we can, and longer, we can move more fully into what God has for us as Kingdom Faith, as a church here, as we reach out more into the 25-mile radius, that money isn't the issue in terms of moving forward, but it's really just more keeping up with what God is doing and how he's moving. Now, there's a number of guys in the church who have been part of kind of just thinking through and working through putting the kind of the wealth creation things in place. And a lot of these guys are experienced. They have a lot of, if you like, fruitfulness or results in their workplace, in their businesses together. And some of what they want to do is to really mentor people in the abilities and the giftings that people have in their life. Sometimes we talk about mentoring discipleship in a kind of God-orientated, grow a better relationship with God and how do you know God more. But some of the mentoring that we want to really see develop is how to mentor people in that call that God has placed on their life in the business world, in the workplace, and for that then to move beyond just mentoring people within the body to then even finding people out there in society that have been told, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, you know, you're useless, you'll just end up being this in life. And we want to see God get hold of those kind of people's lives out there as well, so that we can begin to invest in them and they become everything that God has got for them. But society has said, you know, we'll give up on you. And this is, I think, some of linking into that word citizenship, that God has called us to be, you know, not just citizens of heaven, but to work that out on earth, and that we have a responsibility to be people that transform society. So there's a lot in this, okay? And we're just really at the beginnings of touching on this whole area. So 24th of May is going to be the first workshop, Excellence in the Workplace. Then in June, we're going to have one really looking at that entrepreneurial gifting and how to begin a business. And we've got some great guys who are going to be involved in helping to do that. And then more the general wealth creation in July. Okay, let's give Dave a big thanks, shall we? And the guys here have been brilliant. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, Dave. Cheers, Dave.